Chapter 5. Privacy and Confidentiality. Introduction. The necessity of protecting the privacy and confidentiality of patients is a fundamental value in both ethical and legal frameworks of American healthcare. Nonetheless, these concepts, for which there is little disagreement in theory, became increasingly fraught with controversies, confusion, and legal and ethical conflict as they are applied to the more practical, everyday work of healthcare professionals. In bioethics, the conceptual underpinning of patient privacy and confidentiality is the principle of respect for persons and their autonomy. Tom Beauchamp and James Childress claim that privacy and confidentiality are, quote, justified by rights of autonomous choice that are correlative to the obligations expressed in the principle of respect for autonomy, unquote. Charles Fried asserts that, quote, privacy is not just one possible means among others to ensure some other value. It is necessarily related to ends and relations of the most fundamental sort, respect, love, friendship, and trust, unquote. In other words, respecting a right to privacy is required for these values to flourish. If both perspectives are true, then respecting the privacy of patients is not simply an instrumental goal, but is itself the manifestation of some of the intrinsically valuable and ultimate ends of medicine. Although observing patient privacy and confidentiality was originally intended to promote an equitable exchange between healthcare practitioner and patient based on care, trust, and respect, it has been diluted to the means by which healthcare providers reduce harm and liability risks. Likewise, the laws and regulations that now govern privacy and confidentiality have become increasingly obscure, confusing, and insufficient to handle technological innovations. As a result, many people have begun to regard privacy and confidentiality as stumbling blocks to the progress of medicine. In this chapter, we will first differentiate between the concepts of privacy and confidentiality, which are often confused for one another. We will then take an in-depth look at the legal context surrounding the ethical notions of respecting a person's right to privacy and confidentiality. We will also consider the longer history of common law approaches to these topics through case studies. The chapter concludes with a discussion about whether existing privacy and confidentiality laws and regulations are appropriate and adequately protect patients, given the rapid rate of innovation in biomedicine today. Then we will consider the future of ethical and legal healthcare management with regard to patient privacy and confidentiality. Section 5.1. Differentiation of terms. In both clinical and legal contexts, the terms privacy and confidentiality are often used interchangeably, despite the fact that the two terms are not synonyms. This inconsistent, imprecise, and sometimes contradictory usage tends to cause confusion, especially when attempting to apply these ethical concepts to practical situations. It is therefore necessary to define and explain the differences between these terms. Privacy. Privacy refers to an individual's expectation to keep or control access to his or her individual space and information. What legally falls under this zone of privacy can vary depending on the jurisdiction or the context. The expectations of privacy can also vary by person, context, or culture. Access to intimate details and information is controlled by an individual's right to privacy. When allowing access to this private sphere, an individual is retaining control of this right rather than waiving it. In legal terms, the right to privacy also encompasses the general right to be left alone, as well as the right to limit the interference of others when making personal and autonomous choices. While in the broader sense, privacy encompasses control over access to one's body or information, more subtle situations often require further precision of the term. Privacy law expert Anita Allen has identified four different types of privacy that exist in the realm of genetic medicine: informational privacy, controlling access to personal information; physical privacy, limiting access to persons and intimate spaces; decisional privacy, limiting interference with personal decisions; Proprietary privacy, retaining ownership interests in the person's body. All of these facets of privacy can readily be seen throughout modern healthcare. For example, one of the 5 requirements of informed consent we saw in Chapter 2 was the requirement of voluntariness. The requirement for voluntariness protects patients or research subjects from being coerced or unduly influenced in their decision-making. This example represents the protection of what Allen regards as decisional privacy. Decisional privacy was discussed in Chapter 2 as an element of patient autonomy and consent, but note here the impact religion may have on healthcare decisions. For example, Catholic opposition to abortion has been expressed in a series of cases challenging the Affordable Care Act's requirement that employers provide health coverage for abortion and birth control. This position has led public interest groups and attorneys general to question whether such opposition will prevent adequate access to these healthcare services. Other examples include the numerous policies, guidelines, regulations, and laws that limit access to what has become known as a patient's protected health information, or PHI, under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, discussed in the next section. Protected health information encompasses the details a provider collects regarding the patient's condition, treatment, or payment that identify or have the potential to identify the patient. Caution and ease of application leads many to assume that any part of a patient's health record, including payment history, is likely to be considered PHI. The question then becomes less one of whether the information is protected as confidential, and more one of whether the information can be disclosed. The trade-off in this question illustrates the difference between privacy and confidentiality. Confidentiality. Confidentiality refers to the ethical and legal obligations to refrain from sharing information about other people without their authorization. In legal terms, these obligations result from the relationship or contractual obligation between those who are privy to the information and the rights holder. Respecting someone's right to privacy, on the other hand, is generally considered a social obligation which does not require a specific contractual relationship or legal duty. Ethically speaking, keeping others' private information secret is the appropriate response of someone who respects others as intrinsically valuable. One popular translation of the Hippocratic Oath from the National Library of Medicine requires physicians to vow, "Whatever I see or hear in the lives of my patients, whether in connection with my professional practice or not, which ought not to be spoken of outside, I will keep secret, as considering all such things to be private." The sentiment is mirrored in the Declaration of Geneva of 1948. Quote, "I will respect the secrets that are confided in me, even after the patient has died," unquote. The duty of patient confidentiality is stated in the American Medical Association's Principles of Medical Ethics as follows, quote, "A physician shall respect the rights of patients and shall safeguard patient competences within the constraints of law," unquote. The American Medical Association's ethical principles also reiterate, "The patient has the right to confidentiality. The physician should not reveal confidential communications or information without the consent of the patient, unless provided for by law or by the need to protect the welfare of the individual or the public interest." In clinical contexts, the American Medical Association's Declaration of Professional Responsibility vows, "We, the members of the world community of physicians, solemnly commit ourselves to protect the privacy and confidentiality of those for whom we care and breach staff confidence only when keeping it would seriously threaten their health and safety or that of others." Though rooted in the ethical principles of respect for persons, today the notion of confidentiality is more often justified with instrumental and utilitarian ends-means rationales. Terry identifies the current rationales for the need to observe confidentiality as, quote, two codependent, practical imperatives. Patients disclosing information to physicians to seek protection of their health, and physicians respecting competences in order to encourage patients to disclose needed personal and medical information, unquote. Once considered a nearly absolute and inviolable duty, confidentiality is now a circumscribed protection, bending to a wide range of utilitarian exceptions. One such example is that healthcare providers can disclose protected health information to another covered entity for the purpose of payment or, providing the information is limited, to credit reporting agencies. As the previous statements from the American Medical Association note, there is a need to maintain confidences unless disclosure is allowed by law or in cases in which an individual's welfare or the public interest are endangered. One such provision is embodied in case law, which requires a psychiatrist, once he or she has formed a reasonable opinion that a patient has the intent and means to injure a specific person, to protect the potential victim by means of disclosure of the risk of harm. HIPAA treats such a disclosure as a permitted disclosure. There are additional HIPAA exceptions for disclosures required by child abuse and other public health reporting statutes. Stop and clarify. Privacy, confidentiality, and the right to privacy. Privacy refers to an individual's expectation to keep or control access to his or her individual space and information. It enables a person to limit who has access to his or her individual space or information, for what purposes, and for how long. The right to privacy reflects an individual's legal right to control access to private information and the right to exclude others from intervening in personal decision-making. Once an institution or person is entrusted with otherwise private information or access, the duty of confidentiality restricts the disclosure of that information without permission or strictly defined necessity. Case study: Handling Breaches of Privacy. Case 1. During the night shift at a small-town hospital, a 15-year-old girl in the midst of labor was brought into the emergency room and, as there was no time to move her to the obstetrics department, gave birth in the ER. The baby was born with several complications and so was moved to the neonatal intensive care unit to receive additional medical attention. The girl's mother, who is also a nurse at the hospital, arrived and discussed her daughter's and grandchild's care with the obstetrics nurse who was treating them. She told the nurse that she felt terrible, as she had no idea that her daughter was even pregnant. The OB nurse consoled her co-worker and assured her the staff would do everything they could to care for both mother and baby. After completing her shift that evening, the OB nurse returned home and discussed the case with her own 15-year-old daughter in an effort to make her understand how important it is to be honest and open with her parents in this type of situation. Unfortunately, the nurse accidentally mentioned the patient's name, and her daughter commented that she knew the patient. The OB nurse, realizing the mistake she had made by mentioning the patient's name, pleaded with her daughter not to say anything at school. She stressed the fact that it is private information and she did not mean to mention the patient's name. However, the next day, her daughter shared the information with her friends, and word quickly spread throughout the 4 high schools in the town. The OB nurse returned to work the following evening and contacted the hospital's risk manager and privacy officer to hand in her badge and keys, stating that she knew she had made a mistake by breaching the young patient's privacy and expected to be terminated. The hospital has a policy for privacy breaches, and there are several levels of discipline depending on the type of breach. The most severe level includes termination of the offending employee or employees, if the breach can cause harm to the patient. In addition, the privacy officer knew the patient's mother both professionally and personally. Review the information on the HIPAA privacy rule found at a website provided in your text, then consider the following questions. 1. Is this incident an actual breach of privacy according to HIPAA? 2. What are the specific requirements needed to investigate this incident? 3. Should the privacy officer recuse him or herself since he or she knows members of the patient's family on a personal level? 4. Since termination is a possible outcome in this case, would you recommend this employee be terminated immediately, or would you put her on administrative leave pending the details of the investigation? 5. The state in which this case occurred requires that hospital administrators report all licensed individuals who are involved in privacy violations. Should this be a deciding factor in determining the type of discipline imposed upon the OB nurse? 6. In deciding what disciplinary actions to take, should the privacy officer consider the fact that the OB nurse came forward and admitted her mistake before it was reported? Now that you have considered the case on your own, read on to find out how the hospital administrators handled this case after the investigation was completed. Although the OB nurse turned herself in prior to being reported, she still caused a major privacy breach. It was determined, in accordance with the hospital's breach policy, that this type of breach would be considered causing harm to the patient due to the fact that the patient, a minor, would be returning to school with everyone talking about what should have been her protected health information. Therefore, the nurse was terminated, and a letter concerning the breach was sent to the state. The state did not take away the nurse's license, though, and she was allowed to work at another hospital. However, she was required to undergo further HIPAA privacy training prior to taking on the new position. The hospital administrator, who had spoken with the privacy officer in hopes of retaining the OB nurse, was very upset that the hospital decided to accept the nurse's resignation. In response, the privacy officer explained the importance of being consistent with the breach policy that was established by the hospital, noting that favoritism, no matter who advocated on the nurse's behalf, should not be a factor in determining employee discipline. Case 2. 6 months after the previous privacy breach, a 16-year-old girl was brought into the same hospital in the middle of the night with an ectopic pregnancy. Emergency surgery was performed, and the young girl remained in the hospital overnight to recover. When the day shift arrived the next morning, one of the operating room nurses read the emergency surgery board and recognized the young girl's name. He immediately called his own 16-year-old daughter and told her what happened. Once the patient recovered and was able to return to school, she was chastised by many of her fellow students for being pregnant and losing the baby. She was shocked and extremely upset, as she and her family had not told anyone what happened. She asked around to find out how people knew and was informed that the OR nurse's daughter told everyone what happened. The hospital launched an investigation into the incident, and when questioned, the OR nurse admitted that he had told his daughter about the patient and that, regardless of the hospital's privacy policy, he would do it again. The nurse was placed on administrative leave, pending further investigation. The hospital's investigation also uncovered that there were other OR employees who had witnessed this breach. However, none of them reported it through the proper channels. Consider the following questions about this case. 1. Given that the OR nurse was indignant when questioned and admitted his disregard for the hospital's privacy policy, what disciplinary action would you recommend in this case? 2. What disciplinary action, if any, would you recommend for the other OR employees who witnessed but did not report the nurse's actions? 3. How would you address this case with the administrator who did not want to terminate the OB nurse in the previous case? Now that you have considered the case on your own, read on to find out how the hospital administrators handled this case after the investigation was completed. The privacy officer reported this new case to the hospital administrator and explained the results of the investigation, including the determination that the OR nurse, who had 25 years of service to the hospital, would be terminated and reported to the state board. The employees who admitted they knew that the OR nurse had divulged the patient's information to his daughter were reprimanded and required to undergo additional privacy training in order to prevent such issues from recurring. The administrator, who was initially against firing the OB nurse for a similar offense, was immediately on board with these decisions. The privacy officer further explained to the administrator that it would not have been possible to terminate the OR nurse for his breach of privacy if the hospital had followed the administrator's suggestion not to terminate the OB nurse 6 months earlier. The administrator conceded, understanding that there can be no favoritism when it comes to such cases, despite how they are reported. Regulation of hospital policy must be consistent, regardless of the situation. Section 5.2. The legal and regulatory landscape affecting privacy and confidentiality. American jurisprudence has long upheld a common law right of privacy. Note that the term common law refers to the body of law developed as the result of judicial precedent and extends back to the traditional unwritten laws of England. In 1890, Supreme Court Justices Samuel Warren and Louis Brandeis described the right of privacy as, quote, the more general right of the individual to be left alone, unquote. Using Warren and Brandeis as support, in 1956, the court in Hoche v. Peth described the common law right to privacy as the following. 1. The right to privacy is the right of a person to be let alone, be free from unwarranted publicity, and live without unwarranted interference by the public in matters with which the public is not necessarily concerned. 2. An actionable invasion of the right to privacy is the unwarranted appropriation or exploitation of one's personality, the publicizing of one's private affairs with which the public has no legitimate concern, or the wrongful intrusion into one's private activities in such a manner as to outrage or cause mental suffering, shame, or humiliation to a person of ordinary sensibilities. In the 1976 case, Estate of Bertheum v. Pratt, a commonly cited example of the strength of health privacy protections in America, the court found a physician liable for infringing on a dying cancer patient's right to privacy by taking unwanted photographs of the patient. The court argued that the physician had disrespected the patient's expectations to privacy by intruding in the patient's, quote, physical or mental solitude or seclusion, unquote. Despite the robust common law precedents that protect patients' rights to their privacy, case law construes the right to privacy in healthcare more narrowly. Hundreds of U.S. cases from the last few decades, see the timeline of significant cases and legislation related to healthcare in the appendix of your text, show how restrictive the right is. In the 1980 case, Knight v. Penobscot Bay Medical Center, the husband of one of the hospital's nurses dropped by to pick up his wife. Apparently noticing how bored the husband was as he waited, hospital employees allowed the husband to don a gown and intrude on a stranger's labor and delivery for entertainment. Although another patient had consented to the man's presence, the doctor thought this patient might have complications and so routed him instead to Mrs. Knight, who had not been consulted. If the law's rationale was based on the right of privacy, or the right to exclude those who have no business intruding on our most private spaces and moments, the result of this case, like that of Bertheum, would be clear. But since the voyeur in the Knight case had not intended the intrusion, the court held that the plaintiff's lawsuit must fail. Other cases show that, in case law, the court balances the patient's right to privacy, that is, to be left alone, with the public's need to know. Questions regularly arise concerning who can attend the birth of a baby, such as an unmarried father or surrogate parents, or whether a representative of a cardiac pacemaker or orthopedic device manufacturer can be present during surgery. With the advent of computerized health records, the protections surrounding informational privacy have become more strictly defined. In addition to HIPAA, certain states have statutes that supplement HIPAA. For example, California's Confidentiality of Medical Information Act not only provides for the imposition of actual damages and attorney's fee, but also statutory damages. In 2008, the University of California, Los Angeles Medical Center terminated 13 employees for inappropriately accessing Britney Spears' medical records. In 2013, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center terminated 5 employees and a student research assistant for accessing the health records of Kim Kardashian. Note that the employees were terminated for merely accessing the records. Redisclosure was not required. In fact, records of others, such as family members, are also protected from unauthorized access. Although celebrity cases pose a potential reputational risk, there is significant monetary risk for patient information lost as the result of a security breach. Idaho State University, for example, paid $400,000 in 2013 to settle the breach of the unsecured electronic PHI of 17,500 individuals who were patients at a university clinic. WellPoint Incorporated, now known as Anthem Incorporated, a health insurance company, agreed to pay $1.7 million as the result of the disclosure of an application database containing the information of 612,402 individuals. As a result of the above, employers at every level of healthcare have developed zero-tolerance policies related to patient confidentiality. Accrediting bodies, such as the Joint Commission, adjust to the changing privacy and confidentiality landscape through the inclusion of general standards, such as standards to comply with laws, statutes, and regulations affecting hospital operations, standards to maintain information privacy and security, standards to respect patient needs for confidentiality, privacy, and security. State regulatory agencies generally take a similar approach. In response to the UCLA incidents mentioned above, however, California enacted California Health and Safety Code, Section 1280.15, in 2008. This law requires that a clinic, healthcare facility, home health agency, or hospice prevent unauthorized access to medical information. The statute also empowers the state agency to assess fines for a data breach. The law requires the entity to report the breach to the state agency and assesses a daily penalty for the failure to do so. Note that HIPAA has a similar reporting mechanism. Ethics in Focus, Henrietta Lacks, and HeLa Cells. In addition to the notoriety of informational privacy, there is the impact of proprietary privacy. Heed the story of Henrietta Lacks, the source of HeLa Cells. HeLa Cells are unique in the human experience because the cells, if provided with the proper environment, not only survive for more than a few days, but continue to divide. HeLa cells were used in the development of the Salk vaccine, polio, and for research into cancer, AIDS, and the effect of radiation. But what of their source, Henrietta Lacks? Lacks, an African-American woman, was born on August 1, 1920. She married at age 14, having already given birth to two children. After the birth of her fifth child in 1951, she began bleeding abnormally. She was referred to Johns Hopkins as the nearest facility that would treat black patients. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and while undergoing surgical treatment, an additional portion of the tumor was removed without Lacks' permission. Dr. George Gay was given the tissue culture and identified the HeLa cell. Lacks was admitted to Johns Hopkins in August 1951, but the cancer had metastasized throughout her body, and she died on October 4th of the same year. Lacks received no compensation for her cells, which went on to further many important kinds of research. When the family began to receive requests for blood samples from researchers in the 1970s, they realized that Henrietta Lacks was the source of HeLa cells. Law in Focus. Who owns your cells? Moore versus Regents of University of California explores the question of whether human tissue remains a person's property after it is removed from them, and therefore whether the removal could support an allegation of conversion or unlawful taking of someone else's property. In this case, the plaintiff, John Moore, claimed that researchers took, or converted, something that belonged to him, his blood. Under vicarious liability and due to their authority over the researchers, the regents of the University of California were named as defendants, though they did not do the actual taking. The case had five defendants: Dr. David W. Gold, the regents of the University of California, a researcher, the Genetics Institute, a corporation formed by Gold, and Sandoz, the pharmaceutical company. Having been diagnosed with leukemia on October 5, 1976, Moore went to UCLA and saw Gold. While under treatment at UCLA, and on Gold's advice, Moore had a splenectomy and subsequently returned numerous times from Seattle for further testing. During each visit, samples of blood, blood serum, bone marrow aspirate, and semen were collected. Unknown to Moore and without his consent, the defendants engaged in research on the cells removed from him. The defendants concealed their actions from Moore and knew from the outset of the potential for substantial economic benefit to be derived from the cells. In 1981, the defendants filed for a patent based on Moore's cell line. Moore filed the lawsuit, alleging 13 civil wrongs. The lower court thought all 13 were based on one issue, that of conversion. Therefore, the lower court evaluated only whether the defendants converted Moore's blood. The lower court found no conversion, and Moore appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals reversed the lower court and found that the original complaint was correct. The California Supreme Court then reversed the Court of Appeals and ruled that the finding of conversion would not stand. Importantly, the California Supreme Court did preserve Moore's allegations that were based on consent. That is, that the defendants, in obtaining Moore's consent, had a duty to disclose the possible economic benefit. The court based its reasoning on a patient having a right to control his or her own body and a right to consent to medical treatment, as well as on the fact that the treating physician has a duty to disclose any material information that might affect that decision, such as the possibility that the defendants could gain substantial economic benefit. As for the conversion, this was the first time a court had examined whether conversion would apply to a patient's blood. Overall, the court faced a question of whether to create new liability, that a person continues to have a property interest in his or her bodily tissues, even when those tissues are separated from the body, and therefore, if the tissue is wrongfully taken or used, liability would result. To answer the question, the court weighed the potential benefit to plaintiffs like Moore versus the adverse impact on research. It seems that at the time, thousands of human cell lines were already routinely copied and distributed to researchers through tissue repositories. If the donors of the cell lines continue to own them, then every time an economically promising cell line was identified, the researcher or repository would be potentially liable to the donor. Therefore, the court did not create a new liability. However, the court did reaffirm the applicability of informed consent and the duties of practitioners in obtaining informed consent. Please see your text for discussion questions on this feature. Shifting from a rights-based approach to compliance-based regulation. Like the court system, statutes, accreditation standards, and regulations seem similarly hesitant to protect patients' rights to privacy. As health information has become more accessible, legislation has been compelled to balance the right of personal privacy with the public benefit of access to such information. Existing laws, regulations, and guidelines are designed to prevent the disclosure of PHI by healthcare organizations or professionals by enforcing compliance, rather than to protect a patient's right to privacy. Some perceive this to be a further limitation of the right to privacy and an increased vulnerability to intrusion, whereas others perceive this to be no more than an evolution using traditional concepts to deal with technological advances. Some will feel threatened by the mere collection in one place or codification of the disclosures that are already commonly accepted. This evolution will be examined more closely as we review the Privacy Act of 1974, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2008, and the Affordable Care Act in the next section. One potential intrusion into privacy involves the increased maintenance and exchange of computerized health data, making the information vulnerable to breaches in security. Furthermore, the fact that healthcare-related businesses such as pharmaceutical companies, health insurers, medical device suppliers, and biotechnology firms actively seek PHI has made patient rights to healthcare privacy even more fragile. Healthcare-related companies can benefit from PHI by using the data to better target their marketing and advertising, mine the data for economic advantage, and unfairly discriminate against patients, thereby reducing a company's expenditures or costs. Many of these entities want to use a patient's PHI for reasons that, while in many cases are good for the public's health, scientific knowledge, or commercial gain, fail to help the patient achieve his or her goals for treatment, and may even actively thwart treatment. In addition to the adequate protection of a patient's right to privacy, U.S. federal and state healthcare standards strongly imply that if any privacy or confidentiality rights exist in healthcare, they belong to the healthcare system and not to the patient. With the exception of common law civil action, state and national standards usually fail to provide patients with private lawsuit recourse. Instead, while a patient may alert oversight agencies about a healthcare provider's failure to comply with the law, it is the oversight agency that gets satisfaction through civil and criminal penalties. Many would see this as a necessary policy to adopt in order to reform tort law, meaning seeking damages or other remedies in civil law courts, in a litigious society such as that of the United States. However, a compliance-centered approach may inadequately protect the important rights of privacy and confidentiality of patients if current penalties and the chances of being caught failed to disincentivize the bad behavior. The severity of penalties may indeed be the question to ponder as we examine these laws. For example, will penalties that range from reputational and financial exposure to loss of accreditation, which usually means the death of the enterprise, be sufficient to limit and deter breaches of privacy? End of Chapter 5, Segment A.